Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, by the time this goes to air, we might as well wish our listeners a very happy and prosperous new year.
Well, I suppose we should.
And to you as well.
And Merry Christmas. We haven't even done that bit. And that's been and gone.
It's well and truly been and gone.
Well, Rick, as you know, I've had the sore back again. I've been laid up.
I know, but a brave man. You got...
watched all of the tests, I think.
Oh, right. What did you think?
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you understand any of it? Or?
Yes, I did, actually. Yes, the Australians are pretty good, aren't they?
Well, they're dominating, aren't they?
A man of the match?
Man of the match. Travis Head.
How do you get on with that?
Well, we might talk about that just in a moment. What I think is really interesting is that after our very close call against England and England, we've very comfortably beaten the Pakistanis, and now we're 2-0 up against the New Zealanders. And I reckon it's not really, other than stating the obvious, the great dominating factor in successful test eras is fast bowling. And, I mean, I think we could comfortably argue that Australia has got a whole numerous number of fast bowlers, and that's what's making us very, very competitive. I mean, okay, take Smith out of England and we probably would have got beaten, you know, and sure, the batsmen have made, Warner's made runs, Smith's made a few, etc., Labuschagne's made runs, but the convincing, consistent thing is our fast bowling attack, and that's the big difference between us and the Kiwis, really.
We lost Hazelwood and in comes Patterson.
Exactly.
And he was as good, if not better.
That's right.
And that's unbelievable.
And the same thing, and they can rotate them comfortably.
Yeah.
So if we go back to the man of the match, it's an interesting dilemma, I reckon, because Travis Head's been given it, and good luck to him, particularly on his birthday. He's made the second century, and the one he's just made is far worthier, I believe, than the 180 or whatever it was he made against Sri Lanka, which was like playing the sort of Victor Harper thirds.
Yep.
Now, whether that's worthy of the man of the match, I think, is open to discussion. The reason being that, you know, in lots of ways, and including the advertiser, people work out votes on a system of one vote per run 20
wickets.
One wicket, 20 votes, etc. It doesn't take into account fielding and catches, etc., etc. But, and that's basically a method of weighing up some factors. However, I think it's really important that you take into account, and of course then it becomes a personal, individual thing, you take into account the influence that an innings or taking a number of wickets has on the game. And this is where I would argue that Travis a bit lucky to have got man of the match. Sure, he made 114, but it was like a war of attrition. He, I don't believe, ever dominated the New Zealand attack. He basically stayed out there for an incredibly long period of time, which I wish I'd played a test match and made 100 on the MCG and batted for as long as he did. But he at no stage, I believe, took control of the attack, whereas I do think that Smith and Labuschagne, when they were travelling together, and then particularly wicketkeeper captain Tim Payne, and he really did take over. And then again, you know, you could argue that I reckon that Blundell yesterday in that innings,
he batted well.
He batted very, very well. Now, if you take all those things into account, then you probably could have put four or five names in a hat and throw them up and given the man of the match. And so you could easily argue that Travis was as justifiably the man of the match as anyone else.
Mm.
But if for a minute you went back to my point system, then our favourite friend, Wagner, would have won it with 164 votes as to Travis's 142. And then Blundell was on 136, Patterson 134. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, with our bowling attack is that, you know, it seems as though they share them around. Okay, Patterson got 3 wickets in each innings.
Yep.
Pat Cummings got 5 for 28. Yep. Now, you could argue that 5 for 28 in one innings is the most influential part. But anyway, I guess it's a bit like Brownlow medal votes. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Like Payne could probably even put his name up there too, because at 79 he took 5 catches, couple stumpings. I know he's the only guy that can, well, he's not the only guy that can catch, but he's the only guy that can stump.
Yes.
But I mean, that's, you know, that's a, you know, tick by him too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Really? So I mean, it in a sense, other than the honour, it doesn't affect the series or anything else. But
no.
And it's probably unusual that in any one game of Test cricket, there's 4 or 5 or even 6 or so players that you could arguably have a case to award it to.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe...
Well, they gave it to Travis, so good luck to him.
And maybe it was his happy birthday present as well.
What about Wagner? How are the short pitch deliveries, hey? they're struggling for life out there, aren't they?
Did you really want to get me started? Well, I'm curious about the whole thing because I mean, having played the game and now umpiring the game, there are some clear rules concerning short pitch bowling. They all come under basically Law 41, I think it is, by off the top of my head. And it's divided basically in 2 parts. First of all, the first part talks about unfair bowling. And, of course, again, it's a grey area. It talks about, in terms of the umpire's opinion, that short pitch bowling, that and then he's got to make a decision on what he considers the standard of the batter facing the ball, and he shouldn't take into account that they're wearing protective gear. And if there's repeated short pitch bowling that he believes endangers the health and well-being of the batsman, then he should be warned, cautioned, and after the second one, removed from the attack for the rest of the innings.
That innings.
Now, the second part of it is about bounces, and I know it might sound pedantic, but I believe there is a difference between short pitch bowling, which is basically aimed at between the rib cage and the neck, and a bouncer, which
it's
I would argue,
top, isn't it?
Well, I would argue is sort of, you know,
shoulders and above. Hey?
Shoulders and above. Yep. Now, there's a rule also that if it's so high, then it can be called a no ball or a wide.
Oh, yep.
However, the big difference, in my opinion, is that a bouncer does allow the batsman the choice of evasion, ducking out the way of it, or playing a shot. Now, if in the case of playing a shot, he decides to do that and gets hit, well, that's his own fault, and possibly because he's not skillful enough or he's chosen badly. However, my argument is with short pitch bowling designed to at the body, between ribs and neck, is it's only designed for one thing, and that's to try and intimidate the batter.
Well, look at Wade. He got knocked around pillar and post the last match.
And how... Now, the interesting stat...
Every second ball, he was just getting hit somewhere.
Yeah. The interesting stat is that Wagner has all of a sudden in 12 months... He's always had a bit of a reputation for bowling short, but he's really come up with this formula, and in the last 12 months has rocketed his way up to third-ranked bowler in the world. He's just taken 200 test wickets... And the wickets that he's taken in this series, in the last 12 months, is something like 42 and an average of just below 18. Now, that is astronomical. Mm. That's almost, you know, half as much as even, well, not quite as much as half, but that's way better than anyone else. Mm. Now, my argument is that, question mark, why is he taking that many wickets at that incredible strike rate? And it's because, basically, the batter can't play shots because he's too busy defending himself.
Well, look at Smith. He's struggling with it, isn't it? He's got him out four times in a row. That's a classic example, you know, of the best current batsman in the world, isn't it?
Now, you know, there's been accusations made, particularly from parts of the Australian camp, mentioning the word body line, etc., etc. Now, body line, as we know, was invented in 32-33, implemented by Jardine, and basically designed to curb Bradman. And the big difference between that they then rewrote the rules about was there were no rules. And so legally, there was nothing wrong with the Englishman doing that. Now, in terms of success, just like you've mentioned about Smith, who, you know, some people would like to argue is the modern day Bradman. Bradman's average of 99.94 or 7 or whatever it is was down to just over 50 during the Bodyline series. So it was very effective.
Okay.
Now, what they did after that series was rewrote the rule book and said you can only have two men behind square leg, etc., etc. Now, what's really happened, if you wind forward to today, is that on a variation of a theme, Wagner is doing that same thing, except within the rules. Well, hang on, I'm not sure whether it's in. It's certainly within the rules of fielding. He's having, you know, two men out on the square leg, or he's having one behind square leg on the fence, one in front on the fence, one, you know, 20, 30 yards deep at what we would have called a sort of leg slip, but it's a deep leg slip, and then another one just in front of square leg, shortish as well. And so within the rules, he's got four people, you could argue, in positions of attacking, even if there's two of them out on the boundary to catch if you're going to hook it. And maybe we've spent just about time, but I just feel this is amazing. Cricket Analysis have looked at Wagner's performance in the first test in Perth, right?
Yep.
Would you believe that they claim, the analysis, CricViz, he bowled 193 short pitch balls during that innings. 193. Evidently, that's more than any bowler has managed in a test match in Australia since records began. But even more surprising, which probably isn't totally thinking that you've bowled 193, in his final spell on day four, Wagner bowled 86% of his deliveries were short pitch.
But if there's a rule, how can he get away with it? Why don't they call it?
The umpires are, you know, that they're just not doing their job.
They're just
not policing.
I know you don't watch it, Rick, but last night I was watching the Strikers play,
right?
And Rashid Khan got this guy LB, and he's appealed, and Carey's gone up and patted him on the back, and the umpire's gone up with his finger and then scratched his nose. I've seen everything. I mean, make a decision, mate.
I'm not sure what it's all about. I mean,
he reckoned it hit the bat. Last minute, he made the decision that it had hit the bat first, slicked on the bat, and then onto the pad. Yeah. And that was his argument. Yeah. But it made him look pretty silly.
Well, I didn't see that, but I have seen the farce in the English South Africa test match where Paul Rifle, Joffre's bowled a couple of beanies. He's called them, and then I think he's realised in a panic that since he's called the second one, that means that Arch is off for the rest of the innings. He's changed his mind.
Yeah, well, that's weak.
Well,
that's soft.
Bean balls are bean balls.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and he was bowling fast. I saw them on Fox on the replay, and they were flying through, and they flew, you know, like straight past the guy.
Well, whether I stand to be accused of being soft and an old-time cricketer who doesn't have to bat any longer, so be it. But I reckon, you know, cricket is supposedly a gentleman's game. Now, okay, that went out the window a while ago. However, I believe that if you walk out to bat, and it doesn't really matter whether you're batting for the Newry Thirds or the Australian Test Team, a batsman should go out with two main objectives. One, to protect his stumps, which is pretty fair. The second, to score runs. Now, I don't believe his first priority should be to have to go out and protect his body.
Mm.
And yet, when you've got Wagner bowling 86% of his
balls...
And he's
not slow.
Oh, no.
He's not pretty slow. Quick. He's 130-odd
That's right.
k's an hour.
Yeah. There's not much pain difference between 130 and 140. I mean, and it's the print. And you've said it. If the umpires were doing their job,
just call it. If there's a rule there, you've got to call it. Right. I mean, you can miss the odd one, but you can't miss 86% of the...
And you can argue over, say, bouncers and whether that one's a legitimate bouncer or give him a warning and one to go, etc. But, you know, if you've got four balls out of six going into someone's rib cage, You can't tell me that that is designed to hit the stumps.
I mean, the batsman must get damn sick of that because you're playing up all the time. You've actually off the ground or you know.
Well, you're simply defending yourself. Yeah. And, of course, that's the
trying
reason.
Trying to protect yourself.
That's the reason behind my...
Well, I think something's got to happen. I mean... I quite like this Wagner. He's a very good competitor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If
he's getting away with it, well, he might as well keep going.
Well, of course, that's the whole point. And he is getting away with it. So therefore, he'll keep doing it. And I mean, you cannot question the guy's fitness, work ethic.
No.
He's not the worst.
He runs all day.
That's
like,
right.
He'd
bowl all day
all
long
day.
For you.
Yeah.
He is the workhorse of all workhorses. And, you know, they've worked out a way, just like they worked out that Bradman. I mean, let's face it. You know, I'll admit, no one enjoys fast, short pitch bowling,
no,
you know.
That's right.
And what makes cricket the game it is, and unique in all ways, and totally different to a game like baseball, is that in baseball, there's a zone. Now, unless the pitcher pitches that ball within a certain zone, you don't even have to try and hit it.
Yeah, that's right.
And if he throws four of them outside the zone, you get a free pass to first anyway. So
I didn't realise you knew so much about baseball.
I'm all over it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Not one of my favourite games.
Well, it's not one of mine either, but it's fascinating because I guess in my career of education, we tried to compare sports. And, I mean, it is a batting, you know, bat ball game.
Well, if you watch the strikers play it, they play like baseball.
Well, it's not cricket.
Top of the table too at the moment, Rick. I'll
unbeaten.
Quickly tell you, unbeaten. They got one game was postponed because of the smoke coming over.
Right.
So that was a draw. But Rashid Khan is absolutely ripping them apart. He's a absolute unbelievable. 21 years old, fantastic little bowler.
Now, Phil, you quickly before, because we're going to run out of time, but
yes.
I thought what you told me off air, which I didn't know, tell us about the comparison between him and Shane Warne.
Yes, they done it yesterday.
Yeah.
Bowled at the same time. And the same, obviously, the same distance at the same stumps. And Warney was only about three quarter of the way down the pitch, and Carnes was there. Carney bowls at about 90 odd Ks an hour, most of his deliveries, 90 and above, going up to nearly 96, I think. And Warney was only around the 80 mark, 80,
oh, right.
82. So it's about three quarter, he gets three quarter of the way down the pitch. And then Carnes has hit the stumps.
Well, he's obviously a lot quicker.
Yeah, and he runs in. He jogs in like a medium-paced bowler, Carnes.
But he's not sacrificing turn, because he certainly turns the ball, doesn't he?
No, they said he hasn't got the power in the fingers and the shoulder that Warne has. So Warne used shoulders and fingers. And Carnes he's got to use his more body,
yes,
you know, and bring it through. But
well,
a damn good little bowler.
Well, for a bloke, and he's only... Young,
21, yeah.
He's got heaps of, you know, I mean, he probably is making more money by playing giggle cricket.
Yeah.
But,
They're coming out here next year, though, for a test, I think.
One test.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be exciting, Afghanistan.
A couple hand grenades.
You can't say that.
Can't I say that?
No,
okay.
You can't say that.
I won't say it then.
Now, listen, I've got a good joke for you.
Yes, a joke.
A good joke. Two wicket keepers died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
St. Peter's welcomed the gates and said, anyone who has ever cheated or appealed without reason or sledged a batsman, step forward and ask for forgiveness. One of the two keepers stepped forward and asked for forgiveness. St. Peter said, come on in, son, and bring the other deaf fellow with you.
You cleaned that up. Thank goodness. We might have been off air. Very well done, Rick. No, good one.
I only just remembered how to clean it up.
Well, that's so very good.
Well, I think that's about all we've run out of time.
We've covered the cricket. We might have to do another show and cover a bit of footy and whatever's happening in the footy world. And
I think we should. So until next week or next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.